This is Drive Through Radio on AM 790. Call Paul and John Zangari now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio with Paul and John Zangari on your station for talking business, AM 790.
Good morning and welcome to Drive Through Radio, car care for you right here on AM 790. I'm Adam Zangari along with my dad, Paul.
Good morning.
His little brother, John.
How you doing, boys?
And the man driving this crazy train, Brett Ferruccio.
Good morning.
Now, these guys are here to answer all your car questions, so don't be shy and call us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790.
Wouldn't you really rather have a Buick than any other car this year?
Like it was your choice, right?
Yeah, my favorite song.
Well, you never heard that before. That's from 1968. But anyway, Adam is joining the ranks of drivers.
I am.
Yep, he's on his learner's permit.
So stay off the sidewalks, people.
That is correct. And
if there are no sidewalks where you live, get well deep into your yards.
Yes, it's like our neighborhood where there are no sidewalks. Yes. Luckily, we have a deep yard. Not everybody does. The one or two houses. You can tell the oldest houses in a neighborhood. They're the ones that are right up at the street. For some reason, I guess people didn't like, before people were driving, they didn't have long driveways.
They didn't have any driveways at all.
Yeah, well, the stables might have been in back of the house, and the house was close to the street.
Yeah, and the street was smaller, and there wasn't anybody going up and down the street, except a couple of horses.
Mm-hmm. And pedestrians watching their steps because they were walking in the same place as the horses had been walking.
Yeah, kind of like a parade.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, arriving in our driveway not too many days ago, a big old 2004. Buick Park Avenue.
Oh, so that'll keep you away from the crash.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, here's
the 1920-04 Park Avenue.
No, it's an 04. I should have just said 04 Buick Park Avenue. There were 04 Buicks in the 1900s, but I don't think any of them are left. Do you remember the 53 Buicks? They were the 50th anniversary edition, and the logo on the bumper bar and in the steering wheel had an artist's conception. 53.
That wasn't Ford?
Both.
Yeah?
The Buick.
Yeah, you were there. What the heck?
The Buick, they had a gold artist's conception of a roughly, 150-year-old at the time, runabout. And that was on the 53 Buicks. And in fact, Adam, memorize this book right here. Listen to this. Yes. It's Buick.
Yeah.
The Buick, A Complete History. It's actually... It was published in 2003 for the 100th anniversary.
Incomplete.
Yes. Yeah. Sadly, if...
It's outdated now. I might not read it.
Sadly, 1 year later, they wrote the complete history of Oldsmobile. The last ones were 2004s. But Buick soldiers on. But, Adam, your car... Why did we go with an 2004 Park Avenue? You really want to know the reasoning?
No.
Well, I thought you... that's because you already know. 3800 V6, just an engine that's outrageously dependable. The cars were well-built. And starting around 2000, most of the Buicks came with front and side airbags. And this particular car, I hadn't been looking specifically to get something this big. But when you're looking at older cars, you know it's a real problem in this part of the world. They tend to be rotten. You get a lot of holes in cars. And it's not only the fact that you have holes that weaken their structure, but one thing I noticed looking at a lot of cars, John, you know the brake lines coming out of the hydraulic control unit for the anti-lock brakes?
Yep.
An awful lot of rusty brake lines.
Uh-huh.
So this is a car that even though it lived right at the armpit of Cape Cod, Wareham-ish, thereabouts, right where we're... where it starts to come.
It's on the Cape.
Yeah, right where it starts to come out. In fact, the car was sold new and born. It spent its summers in Florida, its winters in Florida. And although it may be a little bit of a salty atmosphere in a good chunk of Florida, they don't throw salt on the roads down there.
No.
There is no rot on this car. So that's what made this one the winner.
And while we're talking about me, something I just realized a couple minutes ago.
Yes.
Tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary of my triumphant return to this show.
On April Fool's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations, Adam.
Thank you.
Yes, you're adding more notches on your gun here.
You'd think after a year I'd at least know something about cars.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know that that's a Buick, and it's got a key that you turn, and yes, actually, he's gotten a little behind-the-wheel practice. Not in the Buick yet, but that's coming pretty soon. Anyway, coming up on the show today, we're going to be taking a look at a couple of vehicles that you don't have to wait until they're 14 years old to buy. A couple of Korean vehicles that have some things in common and some things that are different. One's a Hyundai, one's a Kia. They both are five doors, you could say, or you could say four doors with a hatch. But one is more of a little hatchback kind of car. The other one is a little bit more of an SUV. What we're talking about is the Hyundai Elantra GT Sport. And also you have the Kia, was it the Niro?
Niro.
Okay. And that is the Niro, which model of the Niro?
Touring.
Yeah, one thing that usually happens during the week is that John and I each get a shot at the cars that we're test driving, but timing was kind of weird this week, so each of us only had a look at one car. So we'll tell you about the specific vehicles that we looked at. Also in the news, this time of year, in years past, I would be in New York for the auto show. Don't get down there much these days,
yeah.
But it is going on right now. And I talked with someone who is a major marketing person with Lincoln, and so I congratulated him on the fact that their cars have names again. And he said, yeah, we did kind of lose our way when we were just naming them with
how
initials.
How come everybody except those people who name their cars that way knows this?
I don't know, but at least they caught on to it. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the Lincoln Aviator, which is a car that was, it's bringing back an old name from Lincoln, a car that was unveiled this week at the New York Auto Show, although it won't be available until January. And, you know, one thing that was in the news this week was autonomous cars and how an awful lot of the on-road testing has been suspended, and that, of course, because of the fatal accident in Arizona a little over a week ago. Although, I have to double-check this. I understand that in this neck of the woods, there is still some autonomous car testing going on, I think in the Boston area.
Yeah. I don't know why, but anyway, maybe they figured because the cars move so slow, nothing can happen.
Well, in the traffic over there, yeah, what's the worst? Actually, those are probably ideal conditions for autonomous vehicle driving when you're in the kind of traffic that you'll find on 128 and the Southeast Expressway, and to a lesser extent around here at rush hour, where things are moving very, very slowly and kind of jammed together. One of the problems that was brought up in the vehicle that crashed was that their systems had a problem when they were between tall trucks. You know, it had to do with the fact that if you've ever seen one of these autonomous cars, there's something that it looks almost like out of the 50s and the stuff that we were using to try to see it, what we could find out from outer space, with a rotating, in those days, it was some kind of an antenna.
Yeah.
These are other sensors that are up there, probably including cameras, to try to get a panoramic view of where the vehicle is finding itself. And I guess when you're next to something, when you're next to a vehicle that's 12 feet tall and has sides kind of like the Superman building, it's kind of tough for your sensors to know what else is around it. And that's one thing. You know, I was just thinking, I was driving in New York City traffic one time next to tall vehicles, and I was in a Mazda Miata.
Oh, yeah.
And, I actually found an advantage in New York traffic driving a car that low. And you know what that was?
You could look underneath.
I could look under the trucks. I could tell what was coming from the other side. I don't think the autonomous vehicles try that approach. But
No.
Yeah, and so their sensors are thrown off. So they're still, you know, obviously it's not quite ready for prime time, or I guess maybe it might be more appropriate to say not quite ready for drive time. Also a reminder here, we are here. Why are these guys on the radio every weekend to talk about cars? It's because actually John and I know something about them. John, having been an automotive technology instructor, did you teach David Buick everything he knew?
No. Ransom.
Ransom Olds?
Olds, yeah.
Oh, okay. A few years before Dave.
Yeah.
It was Ranny. Or Rance, I think they called him.
Rance.
Yeah, anyway. John is a as an automotive technology instructor that goes back to before the age of electronics, but then you continued with the manufacturer's schools as the electronics came in to control the way cars run. And I have been a member of the Society of Automotive Engineers since 1985. It goes back to when I worked for Fram, when they used to be based over here. So anyway.
And then there's me.
And then there's Adam, who can tell you how to start an 04 Buick. Right?
Wow, way to make me sound more knowledgeable than I actually am.
Yeah, but you do know how to start the car. Anyway.
Yeah, you killed the joke. Anyway, we're going to break.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we're going to break, and these guys have told you their credentials. And if you have any questions, you can always call us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. These guys would love to talk to you. Drive Through Radio will be right back after this. Welcome back to Drive Through. We really should have planned that during the commercial break.
Yeah, but no, this is what you normally do. I just had a flashback to the old days, that's all.
Welcome back to Drive Through Radio, everybody. And yes, these guys did drive some cars last week, so which one are we going to talk about first?
All right, we're going to start out with the 2018 Hyundai Elantra GT Sport AT. The AT means it's got the automatic
I've
training.
I've been on the air for a year, and he still doesn't.
I know, but you had a few months off when you were playing basketball. No, driver's ed, that's what it was, yeah. It's funny, you couldn't do the car show because you were learning about driving cars. But anyway, the Elantra GT Sport. Now, interesting thing about the Elantra GT, essentially, well, it's new for 2018 for the American market. And the Elantra GT is, essentially, it's the European version of the Elantra.
What's it doing here?
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, for years you would hear American driving enthusiasts saying, we want the European version of, and, you know, they'd usually be talking about, say, an American-labeled car, like a Ford, for example, that had a sportier version of, let's say, the Escort over there, and we couldn't get it here. You know?
And probably had a manual transmission, too.
Yeah, well, available both ways, although most of the European buyers, at least the last time I was there, were buying sticks.
Yeah.
But at any rate, this is the European version of the GT, and they call it the Elantra GT here. I should say it's the European version of the Elantra, and they call it the Elantra GT. It's a five-door hatch, and it really is a, a sporty, kind of the hot hatch type of thing that's a phenomenon in Europe. It's got a 201 horsepower turbocharged four-banger. And it really does get out of its own way. Some of the notes that that we were taking on the car, it's nice having someone who can write legibly, as Adam does, while I'm driving and dictating. So the performance is quite sporty. It has the paddle shifters, and it actually responds to them, you know. Ooh. Because there are too many cars, when you push the paddle to tell it you want a downshift, it goes, I'll think about it. I suppose if you did it under conditions that weren't ripe for it to downshift, it might. But I found it was responsive to them. It really does go where you point. The handling is very handy, you might say. The ride is firm. It's, you know, a sports car type of ride. But it kind of goes with the entire package because it fits what we have here. Now, you can almost kid that the GT stands for glass top, at least in this car.
It's got a big one.
Oh, has it got a sunroof. And it's daytime, so it's a sunroof. At night, I'd probably call it a moonroof. But it does have a retracting shade, so if the sun is too hot for you, it really is a shade. You know how so many cars these days, it's kind of a filmy thing that doesn't really seem to block the sun's rays?
This is very opaque.
Yeah, it's black like the headliner matches it. I suppose a certain amount of heat's going to come in through the black, but it at least will keep you from being blinded by it. And, of course, it opens and it can retract as well. Now, if you take a look at the Elantra GT from the outside, you're going to notice that the D-pillars, in other words, the very last supports of the roof at the tail end of the car, are pretty thick, and there is a big blind spot there. Now, a lot of cars today, including this one, the way it was equipped, have blind spot warning systems, some of which are annoying, some of which are not. This one is kind of right on the borderline. It's not really annoying, although here's the way it works. When you are looking in your mirror and you're passing somebody, and they're not really where the car expects you're going to be able to see them in your side view mirrors. Mm-hmm. You will see on the mirrors something that lights up, a little logo, we'll call it, that lights up that tells you that there's a car in your blind spot. If you have your turn signal on to turn into that lane, it's going to beep at you, and that light will, you know, flash saying, look out, look out. You may or may not know it's there. Some of these cars, when they beep, they're so loud you can't hear the radio. It interrupts your conversation. No, it's loud enough that you can hear it, but at least you can still hear the radio as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not as annoying as some could be. Of course, I wish you didn't have the blind spot because, you know, like backing into tight areas, the blind spot warning system isn't going to do you any good. You're not looking out for a car that's trying to overtake you in your blind spot. You're trying to make sure you don't hit some stationary object. So let's just say there's better, there's worse, but the blind spot system does work the way it's supposed to. One thing that's cool, on the dash, you have the, I'll say roughly 8-inch touchscreen.
Yeah.
With a volume knob and a tuning knob, and then virtual push buttons. There are also hard buttons on the side to select main functions, including radio, apps, and things like that. The radio buttons are programmable in a stack on the left, and there's more than, you know, the standard six. I've forgotten exactly how many there are. And you can program them to be either AM or FM or satellite stations. So you don't have to switch from one band to the other. If you're, let's say you're listening to AM 790 right now,
mm-hmm.
and then you're driving out of the area where you might get our AM signal, but WEAN FM comes in, you know, at 99.7. which
right.
is WPRO's programming. You can touch that. You don't have to go through the band select. You'll be right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, pretty convenient. Also, you have the option to use your phone with Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. And the funny thing is, some of the cars that we've seen from Hyundai have the telephone capability where they can use CarPlay or Auto and don't have the navigation system built in. You use the nav on your phone, which is fine. This has the nav built in. But the nice thing about having the options is if you don't want to pay to update the nav in this car when it becomes out of date, you know, after all, highways move. Just look at Providence.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Occasionally they move, just not at rush hour.
Yeah, yeah, it's heavy and moving slowly, very slowly. As Tony DiBiasio used to say, it's 195 is moving slowly. Look out, it's coming at you. But anyway... The maps do change, so map updates are needed every now and then. Look at the exit numbers are in the process of morphing.
Oh, I don't know. They seem to have stopped.
Yeah, but...
Because they can't figure out what to do with downtown Providence.
Yeah, you mean where they've got three exits within 1 mile.
They
yeah.
have like five.
Yeah, so anyway, that's yet another story. But the fact is that if you are using the navigation from your phone, it'll always be up to date.
We hope.
Yeah, you would think. But at any rate...
They'll have your information, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's not go there because we only have a one-hour show. Anyway, so you've got those multiple options in there. The other thing I noticed about the screen is it's straight up and down vertical. And that actually is an advantage that you don't realize until you've lived with it, because one of the things that I've noticed in a lot of cars that have touch screens that you are going to interact with from time to time is that the sun seems to be more likely to glare them out if they're leaning forward a little bit.
Yeah.
I noticed this vertical one. It's not, there's no position that's completely free of the sun, but it seems to be less subject to glaring out than a lot of other ones. Yeah, but the tunnel, well, yeah, you know, it's you've got the automatic light adjustment on them, and some of them work better than others. I notice no problem with this. Funny thing, when I first got into the car, I like to set the trip odometer so I know how far I've taken
mm-hmm.
the car, and I'm scrolling through some of the different menus on the screen, and I see trip odometer, and I'm saying, I wonder if I can reset that. And, oh, look at that. It's telling me all I have to do is hold the OK button. Where's the OK button? I can't find the OK button. Well, as it turns out, I didn't see it until today, but I did eventually find the OK button just by trying things. And there's a button that's actually a toggle switch. You know, you can toggle it up to scroll in one direction, toggle it down to scroll the other direction. I tried pushing it straight in, and that reset it.
That's the OK button.
So that's the OK button today.
Did it say OK on it?
I didn't see it until this morning. Very.
I'm driving, it says OK on that button.
Oh, that's OK. But very, very fine print next to it. It says OK.
Well, the problem was you didn't find your glasses.
No, the problem was I was when I really needed it the first time, it was at night. And that isn't lit. Some other things are, but that wasn't. But at any rate, to wrap it up, I found the Elantra GT Sport to be a fun drive. I don't have all the information on it, but the fact that it says AT and the fact that it's a car that was designed originally for the European market tells me there's got to be a stick version available. The base MSRP on it is $24,380. Adam, your eyes are better than mine. You could probably find the OK button, but right over there,
24,360 manufacturer's suggested retail price.
And down at the bottom, loaded like ours is. Well, it's not completely loaded up, but.
All right, the total price is $29,210.
Thank you. And let me just check one other thing as far as the packages. It had, looks like, about $3,800 in options, which was included that big hole in the roof. And one more thing about that, Adam. Mm-hmm. And that was sitting in the back seat. If I didn't have the shade retracted, would you have been able to sit up?
No. I'd have been able to lie down on the back seat.
But. Well, yeah, there you go. See, so it's a car, obviously, for families with young kids. Wait a minute. You've been over 6 feet since you were 13.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you go.
With short kids.
Yeah. Okay. We'll take it that way. Anyway, but there's one other thing we want to talk about, and that is the miles per gallon. What do they say?
Well, they say in the city you may get 26, on the highway 34, for a combo of possibly 28 miles per gallon.
And your mileage will vary.
Still.
All right.
All right. We're going to.
People who want to hitch a ride. Going incognito, you're a superstar inside. Although it sounds like thunder, you know you're pretty safe. My Hyundai's got the power of 1,000 giant apes.
All right. We're going to have to break, guys. And, if you got a car question, a car problem, these guys can solve them. So just call us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-5000. 0790. Hey, hey, yeah. Take it back. Take it back. Take that thing right out of here. Right away. Far away. Take that thing right out of here. Welcome back to Drive Through Radio, and some car companies really would like to take it back and take your thing right out of here.
Yeah, although they do want you to keep it when they're done with it. In most cases, it's not like the 23 Chevy, the copper cool job.
This is a list of cars that have recalls on it from NHTSA, which is the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration.
Or the nitpickers?
Sometimes they are. And
well,
one
my
of
favorites
them
are ones when they say the decal has, they forgot to put
them.
The decal on
that's
the car.
That's one of them. All right, but anyway, Mercedes-Benz incorrect adjustment of headlights. Holy mackerel.
You mean blind oncoming drivers?
They're looking for worms, but I'll tell you, a lot of cars in general have misadjusted headlights. Oh. But that's a 2017 Mercedes-Benz E300 and E43 AMG. And now, of course, I'm going to skip the big trucks and things like that. Ferrari, so all the people, all our
Ferrari driving listeners.
Yes. The 488 for 2016 has a disc brake wear software problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. Hyundai Sonata plug-in hybrid. Model years 2016 through 18 has a voltage protection device improper activation. I guess it does something when it's not supposed to.
Something like that. I remember there was a problem with the Dodge Pursuits one time, the police cars.
Yeah,
where,
and they pursued pot cars.
No, the problem was that the bus that they had placed in it for connecting a lot of the extras that the police departments put in didn't have the proper rating.
Ah.
Yeah, wasn't capable of carrying enough juice.
Ford Focus 2015 and 16 and Ford Fusion 2013 and 14, transmission clutch slip fluid leak. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Honda Odyssey 2014-2016. Walk-in seat backs may stay unlatched. So if you flip the seat and you flip it back because you went to get in the third seat.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there and you have to stop real fast or hit something straight. That seat's going to come back and really strangle the heck out of you against the seatbelt.
Against the seatbelt. Yeah, that's going to be folding you into
it.
Yeah.
Oof. Ouch.
It's like the old rumble seats, only they didn't have seatbelts.
They weren't going to slice your head off in this case. Mm-hmm. All right. And then, of course, Ferrari
again
is not going to let
Ferrari.
No, Maserati is not going to let Ferrari get away with it. They have to have
a recall. They have one, too. Okay.
Yes, they have to. The Ghibli for 2017, rather, and the Quattroporte for the same year, 2017. Software error may make it shift from neutral to cause it to shift into neutral or stall. Not good.
A couple of observations on the Italian cars you mentioned. One of them is Ferrari. You realize that reminded me that Magnum PI is supposed to be coming back. But what are they going to do without John Hillerman?
It's all right. The dogs will take over.
And the other thing I was thinking of is Tom Selleck is kind of tied up unless Blue Bloods is running its course.
I don't know, but maybe he's going to take John Hillerman's place.
Yeah, but supposedly there's a reboot it's a new cast like Hawaii 5-0.
Probably.
But the other thing about the Italian cars, Brett, I have to ask you. I believe you know the answer to this question. Although
asked them before.
Although
I
know.
You have asked me before.
Yes, I know.
It's
but
like the only car trivia question I think I know.
I know, but the thing is, we figure maybe the same people aren't listening
this
morning.
That's very true. Yeah, audience turnover.
You got it right there. Okay.
But Brett's still listening.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
What was Mr. Lamborghini's first name?
I do believe that would be Ferruccio.
Hey, yeah. did they call him Rooch?
I bet they did. Probably. Only his good friend.
There you go.
And this is to this recall is for the one driver in the whole Northeast of a Pagani.
Okay.
Of a what now?
A Pagani.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a Huayra model for 2017. The battery may fail, causing engine stall or no start. I never heard of a recall of a battery. I wish they recall my battery after 5 years.
So that you could get fresh batteries, yeah.
Yeah, but that's 2017. Let's see. Mercedes-Benz, the GLC series.
Yep.
There's a bunch of them listed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, with a bunch of different numbers. Rear seatbelt may be unable to be latched.
That's
okay,
not a good thing.
Could be a problem. Yeah, and that takes care of that list. I got one more, a little shorter list of what are these things called? Oh, yeah, recalls.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. We have Alfa Romeo Stelvio for 2018. Has
Stelvio.
That's
Stelvio.
It. Windshield wipers limited to low speed.
Hey, what kind of Italian are you, really?
I never saw those. Well, I never heard anybody pronounce them before. Volkswagen, the CC, the EOS, the Golf, the Passat, and Passat wagon.
Yeah.
2007 to 2010 for the Passat. Let's see. And the Golf, 10 to 14. EOS, 10 and 11. CC 9 to 14. These guys had a driver's frontal airbag inflator may rupture. Ooh, that's a bad one. And let's see. Nissan 370Z. Boy, remember that one's only 280? For 2018, incorrectly installed airbag. That's a problem. BMW X3. Rear spoiler may loosen and detach. Not a problem for you driving in that BMW, but the guy behind you may have a serious objection to that.
I suppose.
So imagine that coming off and whoa. Nissan Juke 11 to 12. Fuel pressure sensor may loosen and leak. That could be a problem. The Tiguan for 18. Torqued engine support bolts. Let's see. And the Ford Fusion 14 and 18. Lincoln MKZ 14 and 18. Steering wheel may detach.
I got one too. 2018 Sienna minivan from Toyota. They're recalling 55 of them. You know why?
All they sold?
No, but 55 of them, the wheels were not properly cooled, and as a result, they can't guarantee that they won't crack and separate.
Huh.
So they're recalling them. They're taking them in. They're looking at them. Interestingly, if the wheels say USA on, there's a certain spoke you look at from behind. Those are the bad ones. The Mexican ones are the okay ones. But
it
only
must be a special wheel.
But only 55 of them have the bum wheels. They found, I don't know exactly how they were able to quantify that, but they found out that. And I don't know if all four wheels on the 55 of them are bad, mm-hmm. but nonetheless, 55 of them are going to get new wheels.
All right.
You hit chuck holes, you bang the curb, you might have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Adam?
All right. Yes, we're going to head to break, are we?
Well, no. Yeah, check the screen right here.
You can't see it.
I can't see it. I was comfortable. Sorry. I was really comfortable over there.
Yes.
Anyway, Chuck from Lincoln's. Welcome to Drive Through Radio, Chuck.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Welcome.
Two questions. The most important one is I recently bought a 2016 Lincoln MKZ.
Mm-hmm.
And the electronics don't work with Apple CarPlay.
Right.
But the newer models do.
I think you're right.
I wonder, is there a reason why the auto manufacturers can't update that software? Seems like every other app in the world on your phone gets updates. Why can't the cars do that?
You know, I think they're moving more in that direction. The thing is, it depends on... Ford might be paying the price that, the fellow who... Or we're talking about Lincoln...
Mm-hmm.
Henry Leland, the guy who started Lincoln, also started Cadillac. He had an ad years ago talking about the penalty of leadership because everybody's looking up at you. Ford was early in coming out with touchscreen systems that interacted with software, and I think they're probably saddled with, because it was an early design, something that's not as adaptable as their newer ones. Now, the MKZ is essentially the old Zephyr, the Lincoln Zephyr, and my suspicion is what you have is a system that's going to be changed when that model's replaced.
Now, Chuck, have you checked with the dealer to see if there was an upgrade on that software to make that work?
Well, not that specifically. I know with the nav system, they said, oh, they'll update that periodically.
Yes.
Right. They have to.
They have to. We've got an 09 Ford that has us driving into the Providence River whenever we're on 195.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll be looking for you floating down the waterway.
No, we stay on 195, but the nav doesn't know it.
Okay.
But, it may very well be that... you've got the older technology system that's not as updatable.
Technology system is my 2005 Mustang that I got rid of.
Yeah. And it keeps changing. But I think what's finally dawned upon the manufacturers is that this stuff is changing so fast that we need to make it as upward compatible as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, kind of finally dawned on them. And because your system was kind of pioneering, it's now... kind of towards the end of the pack, unfortunately. Although it works pretty well for everything that it does do.
Yeah, it is. I'm pleased with it. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. The other thing I wanted to throw out, I don't know if I've missed one of your shows. Have you talked about R1 karting in Lincoln lately?
We haven't talked about it at all. Have not been there either. Mm. But over on Higginson Avenue.
Oh right? Yeah. Actually, yeah, Gresh did a show from there.
He did.
Couldn't make it there that night. I wanted to, especially since it was on my way home, but there was something else happening. But that's in the old Collier Wire.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
I take it you've been there, Chuck?
Yeah, I have. It was a lot of fun, yeah. I recommend it, and you guys should do a show there or about it.
That ain't a bad idea.
True, yeah.
All right. Chuck, thank you very much for calling. Don't be a stranger.
Bye.
All right. I guess what we ought to do now is...
Now we got to head to break.
That's it.
Sorry about that, Chuck. Anyway, we have, just so you guys know, we have podcasts at 790business.com. So if you want to listen to any of my highlights this past year, or if you have nothing better to do, then you can go to 790business.com and listen to some of our old shows. This one will be up after not too much time. Brett's good with that. Drive Through Radio will be right back after this.
Maybe you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Maybe you can drive my car. And maybe I love you.
Welcome back to Drive Through Radio, and as these guys can attest to, I'm probably a bit too comfortable right now.
Nothing wrong with that. And you
unless
could
you
get
can't
comfortable
see the screen. Yeah.
Unless I can't see the screen. See that
yeah.
It's facing only Paul. But anyway, you can get comfortable in a 2017 Kia Niro Touring. Now, the Kia Niro Touring that I drove this week was a deep cerulean. I'm not having any luck with words today, I'll tell you. Which is a dark blue with a light gray interior, and it's got some real good lines to it. But what they did on this is there's roof racks.
Yes.
That are silver and really add to the top of the car, making it look really sharp.
I
they look totally useless.
Well, because they're not the crossbars.
Right.
Right. You have to add the crossbars.
Right.
Yes.
But they look good. It mm-hmm. seemed better to look good than to feel good.
Yeah,
right?
I suppose.
And underneath the hood is a 1.6-liter gasoline engine attached to a 43-horsepower electric motor.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but unlike a lot of other hybrids,
yes.
this is a new maybe trend coming up. It has a 6-speed automatic transmission, not a variable ratio transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So this is different than most of the ones you're going to see out there. All right, it's a 5-door hatchback. It's I'll say small to medium car, but I kind of thought it was a small car. But one of the things that I got to say about small cars in the past have been that you get a small car and you don't get any luxury at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Niro Touring has, in this case, practically every amenity that the normal person would want to have in a car. For example,
as opposed to you.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
For example, you know, the front windows are auto up and down. It has heated seats left and right. It has heated steering wheel that heats the whole way around.
Very nice, yes.
You know? It has the keyless entry system where you press the button on the door to unlock it, and you can press it again to lock it on the way out. You have automatic headlights, memory seats, mirrors that fold in at the touch of a button. Of course, there's more luxury inside to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start looking at that, that's one of the things that you just don't see on a lot of little cars.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, though, a lot of little cars do have, it does have a SIF ride, but it's not as noisy as a lot of the little cars have. There's not that knocking noise feeling that you get. So it's good to see that they've somehow been able to eliminate that. Now, it's a hybrid, so immediately people are going to think it's low because it's supposed to get good gas mileage. It has good mid-range. That's where you're going to feel the most get up and go out
mm-hmm.
of it, in mid-range, like getting onto the highway. If you're doing 65 miles an hour and you hit it, it's not going to snap your neck.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But you didn't buy that car for
that's not the reason
the
you bought
performance.
It. Now, this
you're
one's
buying
not
it
the,
for gas
This
mileage.
One wasn't the plug-in, was it?
It was not, because
there is
just
a plug-in
a
version. There's a plug-in version that's come
and this
out.
Ain't
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is the electric
it has
driving
a wire.
Range. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so one of the things that it does have on the screen,
mm-hmm.
Besides nav and all the other kind of apps that you can get.
Yep.
Besides that, it has a graph that shows you how much hybrid gas mileage you're getting,
mm-hmm.
and it shows you how much it used the electric motor during
mm-hmm.
this, you know, one over the other, so you can see. And I haven't seen that type of graphing in a hybrid car, so it's interesting to see how much you've actually
mm-hmm.
used it.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, I don't know that it's running. Well, kind of hard to tell because, you know, it's a seamless situation where you don't have to do anything. You just press your foot on the gas or the brake pedal, and
mm-hmm.
it takes care of everything else. The trunk size is pretty good for a smallish car, but one of the things that they did do that, of course, aggravates the heck out of me, they put no spare tire in there, even though there's plenty of room.
Yeah.
There's that circle shape that could take a tire, but in there is a piece of foam and a tire inflator kit, which, of course, is totally useless when you have a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there is room, and there's a privacy shade back there. Now, if you sat in the back seat, you would have bottle holders in the doors and cup holders in the armrest, and a little pocket or net behind the seats to store stuff in. Sitting in the front seat, you're going to have the same kind of thing. Well, you won't have the nets, but you'll have the bottle storage, the cup holders, and you'll have plenty of power. Okay, you've got 2 12 volts. Mm-hmm. You've got a USB. You've got an auxiliary. Oh yeah, and 110 in the back seat. Actually,
handy.
I left that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got lots of power there, and a USB power only plug inside the console
for charging
cupboard.
Your phone. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got. They know people are going to be using their phones and stuff like that.
Yep.
Let's see. The radio, of course, we have to say this. It has two knobs.
Very good.
So you can tune the radio that way. And, of course, the money.
Yeah, what's
this,
it cost? Yeah.
It costs $29,650 for the MSRP. Ours was equipped with a package that was $1,900, and part of that package was the wireless phone charger.
Okay.
Just lay it on there. Do nothing else. Just lay it on there.
If your phone's compatible with it.
Of course, mine is.
Oh, there you go.
And that was a $1,900 one. For a total with everything added up, came to $32,445.00. And the
EPA?
EPA says what?
43 combined city highway equivalent of 46 city and 40 highway.
That's easy for you to say.
There you go. All right. Hey, one other thing before we wrap up. I mentioned the Lincoln Aviator at the beginning of the show.
You did.
Yes, and I got just a few seconds. I'll use the shorter cut of Robert Parker, number two. He is the marketing director for Lincoln, and it's being unveiled at the New York Auto Show right now. And one of the things I love about the Aviator is, you know how we've got these big clunky things in our pockets, these fobs that are such a pain in the butt? You know, but it means you don't have to reach out and take one of these jagged metal objects. You can use, let's let Mr. Parker talk about it.
We are very proud of our key fob. It looks like a piece of jewelry. We are moving on to phone as a key, which we think will be a technology that people will absolutely love. You can use your phone just like you use your key. You don't have to carry your key with you. It'll interface with the vehicle, start, unlock, open the tailgate of the vehicle, precondition the vehicle. And you can also pass along a valet key. So if you need to give somebody temporary access to the vehicle to move it or to park it, or you need one of your kids to run to the store, you can actually give a temporary key.
So anyway, the nice thing is that next time you lose one of your fancy keys, you won't have one to lose, like $150 for one of those keys.
Yeah, next time you lose your phone, you're walking.
Yeah, except that you usually have a phone.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining Drive Thru Radio this week. If you like today's episode and you want to listen to it again, our podcasts are online at 790business.com. Thank you, Brett, for a great show. We'll be back here same time next Saturday.
All right. Thank you much. In the meantime, don't forget, join me on WPRO and check your mirrors and signal your turns. Adios.